If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you. So listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
WPHT, WPHT, HD, WOGL, HD3,
Philadelphia.
Always live on the free Odyssey app. From the Sherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Live and local from Philadelphia.
Free speech lives here.
It's Kale and Company on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
And away we go, live on this Wednesday, May 22nd, hump day. It is indeed Kale and Company, right here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. We are always live on the free Odyssey app, and of course, streaming live for your video viewing pleasure on YouTube as we head until 10 o'clock this morning. 855-839-1210 is the phone number, at 1210 WPHT on social media. I am at Nick Kale, K-A-Y-A-L. Dawn Stensland with the news. Greg Stocker, the chairman of the board. Phil Omquist, Anthony Dorenzo, our associate producers on a Wednesday in which we will be joined by our buddy Tony Bruno, live from Florida this morning at 8:30. Dawn, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Happy hump day.
Happy hump day to you as well. Gregory.
What's up, man? How are we today?
Have you ever issued the threat or the force to be used of deadly force on anybody within the radio world? Have you ever said, you know what?
I would like to.
Mr. Kale, we're going to be serving you some papers, and if he gives you any guff, pop one in his leg.
No, I would like to.
Okay. Just checking. We got a lot of good stuff to get to today. It's going to be a good show. If Anthony Fauci makes your skin crawl, stay tuned for the big take. And some big bombshell discoveries yesterday in the Trump trial, as well as what happened 2 years ago with an FBI raid. That is coming up this morning. Also, the Donald Trump movie, The Apprentice. A lot of legal battles. A lot of, I didn't see this coming in the script, that we will talk about as we move on this morning. Also, get ready for a Memorial Day price hike. Food inflation. This will blow your mind when you hear some of these figures. Also, Joe Biden, Scranton, how the big guy in his hometown not doing so well in those local polls. We'll give you some of those details. The cut sheet, absolutely loaded. Bruno at 8:30, and a whole lot more. I'm fired up, ready to go. Let's get to the news. Round number one, Dawn Stensland at 6:03.
And good morning on this Wednesday morning. Going to be a hot one today. Wednesday, May 22nd. We're at 62 degrees, and it's going to feel like another summer day here in Philadelphia. We are sponsored in the news by Pep Boys this morning. Philadelphia police investigating after two women were found stabbed to death inside the basement of a home. This is in the Crescentville section of Philadelphia. Officers arriving on that home on the 6,000 block of Bingham Street. Yesterday afternoon, somebody did call 911. Police say a 75-year-old woman, her 58-year-old daughter, suffering multiple stab wounds. Both women pronounced dead at the scene. Police authorities not releasing their names. We have no word on a motive for the stabbings, no arrests made. We do know there is an active, you know, search, obviously, for who did this. And police, we know, had executed search warrants at a different home in Catone, in the Tacony section of Philadelphia last night, looking for evidence. So on the trail of the killer or killers. $5,000 reward is being offered, and this is a follow-up story for you. As we had talked a lot about some of the festivals, the carnivals across the region, across the suburbs that had turned violent. And in fact, because of that, because a lot of parents were dropping off their kids and expecting, you know, their kids to essentially get free babysitting or even teenagers, a lot of problems across the area. In this one, $5,000 reward being offered for information leading to an arrest and the shooting death of a 16-year-old boy at a carnival that was earlier this month we talked about in Wilmington, Delaware. He's identified as Ikeer Flowers, shot at the Lead Fest Farm Carnival, which was being held in the parking lot of the Concord Mall, and that was May 11th during the evening. So the reward being offered here by Delaware Crime Stoppers, but in general Crime Stoppers, will help out with these awards. As far as Ikeer Flowers' family, they say their son was an aspiring sports entertainment lawyer, a good kid, a great student, and greatly missed. And he was looking ahead next year to his junior year in high school. High school sophomore, shot. And so by all accounts, good kid. We don't know, was this a robbery attempt? What was going on here? But just a tragic story for sure.
Yeah, I feel like every time I've taken my daughters to some sort of carnival or festival or, you know, even like the Dorney Parks of the world and things like that, I'm always having to deal with these this large group of kids that are just way out of control that you could tell they've just been, you know, let off for the next 4 hours and go do whatever you want, right?
And you point out dad. I mean, I think that's important that, you know, dad is with the kids.
Yeah. Or at least like present in the park.
Yeah.
Right.
That's a great point. And a lot of, but for this family, it was a local festival. And I don't know if the family, if they were separated, the parents are over here. The 16-year-old is over there. This kid, by all accounts, Nick, just a great student, a great kid in the community. What a tragedy.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing if, you know, your kids are nine like mine and they're too young to be dropped off, but when the 14, 15, 16-year-olds that aren't driving yet get dropped off, like, stop ruining everybody else's good time, especially if it's like a family gathering.
Yeah, amen to that. We have, of course, Kamala Harris in Philadelphia today giving a big union speech. There were apparently dozens of those pro-Palestinian, they call them pro-Palestinian protesters, anti-Israel protesters, but the union members at the convention where she was the keynote speaker really drowned out about 3,500 individuals. They were trying to drown out the protesters by saying four more years. So we're also following the saga between Philadelphia Mayor Sherelle Parker and her return to office policy. Now, as you know, we think about this huge union convention here in Philadelphia yesterday, and the local unions not pleased with Sherelle Parker that she is ordering every worker in the city of Philadelphia, if you work for the city, you are back to work full time by July 15th. No zooming it in.
Well, I understand why if you're a union worker, the union, which is, you know, paid to represent you, will give, you know, pushback to this. But I still don't understand why somebody feels like they don't need to return when you are a government employee and the lady in charge of the government is telling you, yeah, by 7:15:24, back in the office, Skip. Like, it shouldn't be up for debate. Like, I understand some people say, well, I can be just as productive at home, you know, like radio sales reps.
But. Yeah, yesterday was Tuesday. They were here.
They were.
So Sherelle Parker is, you know, I think she's within her rights. This was not in the union contract. It was because of the pandemic. They want to zoom it in.
You know what? If you want to work from home, then quit and open up your own business and be an entrepreneur and you can be your own boss.
Well, we had also Governor Josh Shapiro was here. He's on an RV tour. We talked about this yesterday. Week-long RV tour about the Great American Getaway, our new Pennsylvania Commonwealth slogan. So here in Pennsylvania, as he talked about democracy and that we are the birthplace of democracy, a lot of democracy talk yesterday.
But not threats to democracy, birthplace of.
Kamala Harris, she did have her line where she talked about democracy.
That they did.
We have to save the democracy, she's saying.
Yeah. RV tour. Did we not get invited? Did the Kale & Company invitation get lost in translation somewhere?
I'd love it.
I'm dying to do an RV tour for this morning show.
Come on, Greg Stocker, in the RV.
Greg usually forwards along all the good emails that we get.
Oh, God, I would
Never.
You wouldn't want to be in an RV with the four of us for 7 days?
No. No. No, I would not.
You and Phil chopping it up with music conversation late at night?
Nope.
Who would drive? Would Anthony drive?
No, Anthony would crash the boat. Hooper drives the boat, Chief.
Hooper drives the boat. We have a lot of news about Philadelphia's, the debate, the great statue debate, as we think about the statue of Mayor Frank L. Rizzo.
You're a creep.
And it could soon be reunited with the group that donated the statue to the city. That's according to the group's attorney, who is George Bichetto, one of the really the fierce attorneys and people in Philadelphia, our great George Bichetto, who really fought for the on the monument committee and fought for the right to have the statue.
Something tells me Bruno will have some thoughts on Mr. Rizzo coming up at 8:30.
We can't wait.
Yeah.
I mean when we started hearing rumblings this week, and then I thought of Tony Bruno, what's he going to say? Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I've already got my question crafted for Bruno. I'm going to say Tony Bruno, Frank Rizzo, your thoughts. And I'm just going to put my feet up for 3 minutes.
I love it. Well, I think Bruno might have something to say about Ranger Suarez striking out 10 and Phillies 5-2 win over the Texas Rangers.
Is it a hot take, Stalker, to say that Ranger Suarez is the best pitcher on this team?
It is not, because I said it 2 weeks ago.
Oh, you did say that?
I did.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, I know
he's the best pitcher in baseball right now.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah.
You see, like, Wheeler and you see Nola and you look at their contracts.
Yep.
And then here's Ranger Suarez, just dealing.
Yep. Yeah, he's just amazing.
What
he's been
gem.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, we are sponsored this morning by Pep Boys on this summer-like day as we head up to 85 degrees. Storm's on the way tomorrow, though, so it's a steamy week, but tomorrow we could see some severe storms moving through, even hail, if you can believe it. Yeah. And with summer fast approaching, the Pep Boys pros, they will get your ride in shape for those road trips. Now save $50 on standard brake service with coupon. Don't miss this chance to save big. Stop by your local Pep Boys today. Ends May 31st. Visit PepBoys.com for your coupon. PepBoys.com. Kale & Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 6:11 here on this Wednesday morning. Let's get to a midweek big take.
The Big Take on Kale & Company.
And it is brought to you by Turn 7, The Big Take, the Fauci who fibbed COVID corruption. You know, I think Dr. Anthony Fauci has perjured himself half a dozen times over the last 4 years. And I think the game plan all along has been deny, deny, deny. But eventually the lies surface and the truth cannot be suppressed. The elites love to toss around terms like disinformation to cover up their dishonesty when a counter viewpoint, well-researched rebuttal, or facts ultimately surface that discredits what they say from atop their political perch. That's Tony Fauci in a nutshell, in my opinion. Mr. NIH gain-of-function research is back in the spotlight over the last week, and for good reason. Perhaps some of you have forgotten about COVID and Fauci and Big Pharma and moved on with your lives. Perhaps some of you still want his feet held to the fire or perhaps thrown in jail for the blood that he has on his hands. But either way, I hope people don't forget this fall at the ballots. But if you have shifted your attention to Donald Trump trials and anti-Semitism on college campuses or other Democrat disasters such as the economy, the southern border, or foreign policy and global wars, it's worth paying attention to the latest news with Fauci and COVID while also remembering the wrongs perpetrated on you by science himself. In the latest COVID-19 news pertaining to the origins of COVID, we have this headline. Quote, classified documents credibly suggest COVID originated from Wuhan lab leak and was covered up by the CCP. There's just one problem. Anthony Blinken won't declassify these records. And we all know why. It's bad. It's real bad. The Democrats, the NIH, the Washington elites, the Chinese Communist Party, Big Pharma, the mainstream media, all in cahoots. Per OutKick, it's been, quote, over 15 months since the U.S. Department of Energy assessed that the COVID pandemic most likely originated in a lab in Wuhan. Earlier this month in May, the Select Subcommittee on the Coronavirus Pandemic reviewed classified State Department records that suggested the same. Fox News obtained a letter from committee chairman Brad Wenstrup, which was sent to Secretary of State Antony Blinken on May 7th, requesting that he declassify these records to, quote, share the truth about the origins of COVID. Wenstrup claims that documents also state that the Chinese Communist Party, quote, attempted to cover up the lab leak before it spread globally. China acted to prevent and, in fact, obstructed a fulsome investigation into these matters. The American people deserve to see the information that is hidden under these redactions, Wenstrup wrote. Quote, we write to you today to request that you immediately take steps to declassify this information such that the American people have a more complete picture of the government's evidence regarding the origins of the COVID-19 pandemic. Wenstrup urged Blinken to give a staff-level briefing on the records just back on May 14th. It is now May 22nd, and we have yet to see Wenstrup's letter cited or covered on any of the mainstream media broadcast networks, CBS, ABC, and NBC. Wonder why that is. And remember, a report from 2022 is going to be a big theme today here in the first hour, by the way, claimed that a top editor at the New York Times instructed the staffers, quote, not to investigate the origins of the virus. Why would a journalistic publication like the New York Times not want to investigate the origins of something that, oh, I don't know, happens every couple of hundred years? Also, if you don't believe the U.S. Department of Energy or the subcommittee, perhaps you'll find a study by two impartial scientists worth your time. On June 6, 2021, Dr. Stephen Quay and Dr. Richard Mueller published their research in an article for the Wall Street Journal. The science suggests a Wuhan lab leak, the doctors concluded. And do you guys remember this scene that I'm about to play for you? This was after the vaccine was made available to the American public, where Fauci and his pharma COVID cronies were going door to door trying to get people vaxxed, trying to convince them that the shot was great. Here was their interactions with a black female and her family, as well as a black single male. Listen and watch this clip.
How you guys doing with vaccine?
Oh, I'm not having it yet. I'm waiting for them to be able to.
Oh, you should get it first. I'll tell you, that way you won't give it to them.
I thought I would give it to them if I get it.
No, not at all. In fact, we got to get you vaccinated so that if you were to get infected, you could pass it on to them. So you're actually protecting your family by getting it vaccinated.
Well, I heard that it doesn't cure it and it doesn't stop you from getting it.
No. So on the very, very, very rare chance that you do get it, even if you're vaccinated, it's a very, you don't even feel sick. It's like you don't even know you got infected. It's very, very good at protecting you.
Just the Anacostia, so get up there. Okay.
All right. See you later.
Thank you. A pass.
Yeah, definitely. Because when you start talking about paying people to get vaccinated, when you start talking about incentivizing things to get people vaccinated, there's something else going on with that.
It is something going on with that. You're right. But I'm glad millions of people like me and most everybody here didn't get an incentive. You know what their incentive was? Protecting their health and protecting the city. Well, but I won't keep you anymore.
It's okay, because my incentive, y'all campaign is about fear. It's about inciting fear in people. You all attack people with fear. That's what this pandemic is. It's a fear. It's fear, this pandemic. That's all it is.
People had their radars up. RFK Jr. sharing that video that we just played for you yesterday on RFK Jr.'s Twitter feed saying, quote, that scary moment when you realize the man in the street was smarter than the experts. Everything Fauci says here turned out to be false. That's a direct quote from Bobby Kennedy. But you need to connect the dots to realize the corruption and the fraud perpetrated on American citizens. And I want you to follow this flowchart, okay? Scott Gottlieb, former FDA commissioner in charge of regulating Pfizer, now a current board member for the directors of Pfizer. Stephen Hahn, former FDA commish in charge of regulating Moderna, now the chief medical officer of Flagship Pioneering, which just happens to be the venture capital firm behind Moderna. James Smith, the CEO of Reuters, in charge of informing people about the COVID-19 vaccine, also a current member of Pfizer's board of directors. And last but not least, Tony Fauci, NIAID director under the NIH, also funded the gain of function research on bat coronaviruses at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. If you follow the flow, you'll understand the show. Even legal scholar Jonathan Turley sounding off on Fauci yesterday with this tweet. Quote, as an academic, it is maddening to read how Tony Fauci gave a commencement speech where he is suggesting that he and his allies were attacked for science-based decisions. Professors were attacked, stripped of positions, and vilified for voicing opposing views to Fauci, end quote. Turley, as usual, 100% spot on. Meanwhile, news coming down recently that former NIH director Dr. Francis Collins testified behind closed doors on the Select Subcommittee on the Coronavirus Pandemic earlier this year and admitted that the 6-foot social distancing was parroted during the pandemic, yet that was actually scientifically unfounded. And if you missed Fauci deliver his commencement speech at Columbia University just a few days ago that we highlighted on Monday's cut sheet that we have just referenced, here it is for you one more time. Listen and watch this clip.
You have been trained in science. Embrace it and beware of the insidious nature of anti-science. During the past 4 years, we have witnessed an alarming increase in the mischaracterization, distortion, and even vilification of solid evidence-based scientific findings and of scientists themselves. At the same time, conspiracy theories arose that became intermixed with these anti-science sentiments. The net result, understandably, was that public confusion was sown and trust in evidence-based public health principles was eroded.
The best way to sum up the last 4 years in the world of Anthony Fauci and the crap that comes out of that guy's mouth is by playing you this gem. Listen and watch.
Everything that guy just says, bull. Thank you.
And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
Big Take this morning brought to you by Turn 7. Store closing, Turn 7 must liquidate and vacate everything to the bare walls at both massive Turn 7 liquidation centers. Everything must go. Thousands of items are now below cost. Hurry, Philadelphia Mills, Morristown Mall, Turn 7 closing liquidation, Turn 7. 855-839-1210 if you want to jump in on social media at 1210WPHT. And of course, in the YouTube chat, it's the Kale and Company comment community. Just go to youtube.com/at1210WPHD and hit the like and subscribe buttons today. We'll come back and we will get to the big news from yesterday's Donald Trump trial as the defense has rested. But it's something that was revealed from 2022, the Mar-a-Lago raid on the classified documents that has America a little outraged, and I think justifiably so. We'll get to that as we continue. It's Kale and Company live here on this Wednesday morning here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. But first, let me tell you about my friends at Families Behind the Badge. You all know my respect for first responders, so I hope that you will join me in supporting the Bend to the Shore Bike Tour. It's coming up just under 2 months from now, Sunday, July 21st. And guys, you've been donating. We appreciate it. We love it. And there's also tons of options here for you to ride. You can ride 60 miles from Philly to AC, or you could chop that in half and ride 30 miles from Hamilton. There's a family-friendly celebration at the Showboat Hotel after the ride. You can even register to ride with me and Team 1210. We'd love to have a big, massive team this year. Uniforms, the whole bit. I'm returning as the captain of Team 1210, and I want you to join. Whether you're riding or just donating to support the cause, visit bendtoshore.org. When you sign up with the code NICK1210, they'll chop off $25 from your registration fee. That's ben2shore.org, promo code NICK1210. Let's show everybody how 1210 WPHT and Odyssey supports law enforcement. Bend to Shore is organized by Families Behind the Badge, Children's Foundation. FBBCF provides financial relief for the families of fallen and injured first responders and supports the Police Youth Alliance, which fosters a positive relationship between police and youth.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
Peter McKee and Highlight Electric channeling his inner Will Ferrell cowbell skit. As we come back, Blue Oyster Cult, maybe. Never get that visual out of my head. Nick, Dawn, and Greg here on this Wednesday morning. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Peter, of course, making a big donation. Travis Mannion Foundation Radiothon 2 months ago. So he has control of the music all week long. And also next week, the music is up for grabs as well if we can get a $500 donation for the bike tour, I believe.
That's right. If you make a $500 donation right now to the Families Behind the Badge Children's Foundation, just go to GregStockerSucks.com, GregStockerSucks.com. I'll give you control of the music played on Kale & Company next week.
Yes. Stocker will be back at the controls by the 4th of July at this rate.
Yeah,
with
I know.
The music.
Well, we still have more people who donated to the Travis Mannion Foundation.
Yep.
So the playlist, yeah, you're right. I don't know when I'm going to get back in control of the playlist.
Stocker's taking the summer off.
By the way, is there something wrong with YouTube today? Like,
I think so, yeah. I think the YouTube thing's messed up. My camera's bizarre. I'm not sure what's going on today. A lot of visuals.
Do me a favor.
Yeah.
People listening right now, go to YouTube, youtube.com/at1210WPG. I'm just curious because we're like, I don't know. It seems like there's something wrong.
Like choppy?
No, it just seems like our view count is like almost non-existent.
Oh, are we being shadow banned?
I don't know. That's what I'm worried about.
Because,
by the way, we hit 6,000 subscribers.
Yeah.
So you would think that it would, you know what I mean? I don't know.
Uh-huh.
So go to YouTube, youtube.com/at1210WPHD, and just let us know if you can find the show.
Yeah.
Because
I don't know. Maybe everybody's not watching because Sherelle Parker's making them go back to work. All right, we got a lot of good stuff to get to, but nothing bigger right now than what transpired yesterday as news came down regarding the Mar-a-Lago raid from 2022. We're talking about the classified documents case. Breaking news headline: as FBI agents who raided President Trump's home in 2022 were instructed to prepare to use, quote, deadly force while executing the search warrant. And this is in a day and age and a time where you have people complaining that, you know, Donald Trump is going to prosecute and persecute and assassinate his political enemies if he gets a second term in office. The FBI even brought a medic and a paramedic with them on the raid and listed a nearby trauma center in case of an emergency. The documents in question were revealed through discovery in the criminal case, and they were placed on the docket yesterday on May 21st. I want to read you the excerpt of the document with the illegal raid. So it says, according to an operations order produced in discovery, and you can see this here on YouTube. Great work, Phil. The FBI believed its objective for the Mar-a-Lago raid was to seize classified information, NDI, and U.S. government records as described in the search warrant. The order contained a policy statement regarding, quote, use of deadly force, which stated, for example, law enforcement officers of the Department of Justice may use deadly force when necessary. The agents plan to bring standard issue weapons, ammo, handcuffs, medium and large size bolt cutters, but they were instructed to wear unmarked polos or collared shirts and to keep law enforcement equipment concealed. This is a major story, in my opinion, and I have a lot of questions. I want to know why this was authorized. I want to know, is this standard operating procedure? Has this ever been done for any other former president of the United States or any other formerly elected official who retained or was in possession of documents, whether they had a right to have them or not? And is this phrase and this terminology, as we talk about here, deadly force, the use of deadly force when necessary, because I legitimately don't know the answer to this question, is this the same as the term shoot to kill? Does the Department of Justice and the FBI, do they chat about issuing this deadly force prior to drafting up this search warrant? I've got to imagine if you're an FBI agent and you're riding in one of these armored trucks and you're getting ready to do this raid while it's still dark out before the sun rises, and you're sitting there next to one of your FBI buddy agents, you're probably like, I don't know about you, but I'm not going to be the guy that pulls the trigger on Trump or anybody at Mar-a-Lago. I don't want to get involved with that. I can't imagine that anybody would present any sort of resistance as if anybody at Mar-a-Lago was a drug cartel member or a terrorist. Yet this is what is going on in our country today. And Merrick Garland's hands are all over this. Greg, if we could play this, this is K1. This was Merrick Garland back after the raid was executed 2 years ago. Listen and watch this clip.
There are, however, certain points I want you to know. First, I personally approve the decision to seek a search warrant in this matter. Second, the department does not take such a decision lightly.
Dawn Stenslin, I've never seen anything like this in my life. Your thoughts on the use of deadly force for classified documents?
I think that, you know, to your point about thinking when you first started the show, because we started at 6 a.m.
We do.
And you ask Greg, you know, have you ever heard of somebody issuing deadly force? You were, you know, a little tongue-in-cheek there, obviously, but talking about the plebs, the people.
Mm-hmm.
I think that most law enforcement, it's pretty standard that if you, as a trained law enforcement, whether you're FBI, a local cop, we don't talk about this enough. Whoever you are in law enforcement, if you feel that you are, you know, an imminent threat, you have a right to defend yourself with the use of deadly force. But this is different, far and away separate, because you have a former president of the United States of America, you have a former first lady, and you have their teenage son, who was, what, a freshman, sophomore in high school, teenage kid.
That's a good point.
Living in a home. This is the private residence of a former president of the United States of America. So my question was, wait a minute, he's surrounded by Secret Service. Obviously, you don't want a shootout between the FBI and the Secret Service. So I did look for statements by anybody who said, hey, come on, they had to reach out to Secret Service. How does that work?
Mm-hmm.
Now, they claimed, and this was testimony that goes back a year and a half plus, that they did, in fact, have to reach out to Secret Service and have some communication.
To know that we're coming?
To know that. So that was my main question. I'm like, wait a minute.
Right.
You know, because if they had come, if anybody had pulled a weapon and pointed it
right
at Trump, Secret Service, they are trained. They're going to put their life on the line. They're going to come in between.
Mm-hmm.
So how does that work? So they did say that, in fact, no one ordered additional steps to be taken. There was no departure from the norm. That's what they're claiming. And they are claiming this is a standard policy.
Okay.
That it's a standard form, page 11.
Yes.
It says the use of deadly force,
mm-hmm,
if necessary.
I'm thinking about it because, Dawn, you talk about the FBI drawing their weapons.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at it from the other angle of, well, if you're Trump, you're at Mar-a-Lago, you have Secret Service protection. If you're not told in advance, I'm assuming this is why the FBI or the DOJ gives the Secret Service some sort of advance notice, because if you're the Secret Service, your job is to protect Donald Trump and
right,
his family and those at Mar-a-Lago. So all of a sudden, if you don't know who's coming through the gated entrance of Mar-a-Lago,
mm-hmm,
your first reaction and thought is maybe the former president's life is in jeopardy. We're going to pull and discharge our firearms. And then the last thing you want is the Secret Service initiating unannounced and firing at the FBI, to which again leads to your conclusion of a shootout between two different agencies here, which would be a public relations
disaster.
And PR disaster for this country.
Because, you know me, I'm thinking I have a kid who's in, you know, taking criminology at Penn State and would love to be a Secret Service agent. Is thinking about the FBI, having those conversations, you know, but it's Secret Service, that's something. So I'm thinking, wait a minute,
mm-hmm,
they're going to, you know, not for nothing here, I don't think they would have gotten a shot off at the president, because one of those Secret Service agents, I mean, that's what they're trained for. They're going to take the bullet for POTUS, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And so, whoa, wait a minute. The person who testified was a former FBI assistant director. I believe it was the last year or year and a half. He stated during congressional testimony, because they were going back and forth of these Mar-a-Lago documents, and he stated that they had to reach out, they had to coordinate with Secret Service to make sure that they were cool to get into Mar-a-Lago. And as you, I believe that they made basically Secret Service then made sure that POTUS, First mm-hmm. Family, they were not there at the moment.
Yeah.
And so here's the problem with this. First of all, I do think it's disturbing the language that you did have the use of deadly, because this is not standard operating procedure in the sense that this is not standard. This is historic. So that's a problem that language is in there. So technically, I think if I'm in the Trump camp, I'm going, whoa, wait a minute. You were willing to go with standard operating procedure. So technically they're right. On the other side of it, people like, and what do you say about MTG, Marjorie Taylor? MTG, it's me.
It's me. It's me. It's MTG.
Okay.
Yeah.
So she goes out and says, they were trying to assassinate. See, that's way over the top. they were never.
Do you think okay. Marjorie Taylor Greene said something over the top?
I'm the mistress of the obvious.
I would love to know when it was Biden with classified documents or any other Democrat in the past, whether it was Hillary or Obama or anybody that has ever had any sort of documents where a federal agency has gone in and searched and reclaimed them. I would like to know in that search warrant, does this terminology exist in that document?
Yeah, I think it does.
Okay. There's two separate things here. Should they have done this raid for the classified documents? No. Is this language in every single warrant?
Yes.
Whatever. Yes. So the fact that everybody's making a big deal about this language, it's in every search warrant.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not anything different. Plus, I could be wrong about this, but the Trumps weren't even at Mar-a-Lago when.
No, because Secret Service knew and they made sure that they were safe. Because that's their job.
Right.
But what I'm saying is that didn't...
But even beyond the Trumps, too, like, just anybody at Mar-a-Lago, the cleaning lady, the lady that does the towels, like, you know, like, I mean, they act like, and I get it, yes, it's standard operating procedure, I'm totally fine with that, but, I mean, you're going into, like, a really, really high-end piece of property with, you know, royalty, for lack of a better phrase, like... Do we really need to have the potential for use of deadly force? Like,
yes. Yes, they do. Because in my humble opinion, whether it's a traffic stop, whatever that is, and this is the debate we should be having about law enforcement instead of, for example, locally, DA Larry Krasner, on a national level, they're criticizing the FBI. It's not, mm-hmm. it's not the FBI's fault. The FBI was sent in by the Biden administration. The FBI didn't write the policy. The officer, Mark Dial, who in that tragic traffic stop, Eddie Irizarry here in Philadelphia that caused the riots and the protests and whatnot, that officer did not write the policy, but that officer was trained that if, in fact, that officer believes that there's an armed suspect, there's an erratic situation, and those seconds, in those moments, they have the right to use deadly force.
Oh, yeah. No, so I'm all for that, of course.
But it's across the line. That's what we don't talk enough about, is the policy that says you are in law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
This, whether it's your local municipality or whether it's the FBI or whoever it is, you are put out there. You're put out in front. And if you feel, through all your training, that there is an imminent danger to you, you have the right to deadly force.
Mm-hmm.
So if...
Sure.
If our country doesn't want this policy, then take out the policy. By the way, see how much recruitment trouble you have then.
Oh, of course.
But with this, the problem, as Greg, I think, pointed out, you know, the problem is not with the standard operating policy and procedure. The problem is that the Biden administration and Merrick Garland, what a disaster, went way overboard. They never should have. This is a stinking document.
You have to look at the entire totality of the Trump era, how everything has been, let's get this guy. And then you see this. So they haven't done themselves any favors in the court of public opinion when it comes to treating people a certain way.
Yes.
Julie Kelly was on with Zioli yesterday, a great reporter. She has a lot of access to all the trials and the courts. And she had this to say with Rich, I believe, in the 5 o'clock hour. Listen to this clip.
There were 25 agents from Miami, 4 agents from the Washington field office. You had one individual from the FBI headquarters. That's highly unusual. Also a top official with DOJ's counterintelligence unit, also highly unusual. But the agents were armed with, and this is directly from the document, standard issue weapon, ammo, and handcuffs, as well as medium and large sized bolt cutters. So as they're walking through what the agents are allowed to bring, they also talk about what would happen if Donald Trump showed up. Of course, he at the time was at his summer home at Bedminster, New Jersey, but they're talking about potential contingencies. What should happen if the former president, they call him F-POTUS, arrives at Mar-a-Lago? And then it goes on to say these agents will be prepared to engage with former president and the U.S. Secret Service security team. Then it goes on, should the Secret Service provide resistance or interfere with FBI timeline or accesses, the FBI will engage with, and this is redacted, possibly their contacts, and will engage with Secret Service point of contact per existing relationships. Well, that's all fine and good, but what does that mean?
It means they already talked.
Stand by and have a friendly chat. Who has superiority in that situation? The Secret Service, who is there to defend, you know, the life and property of the former president, or these FBI thugs working at the direction of Merrick Garland and Christopher Wray?
See, I hate her. I hate her language that she's making criminal. That these agents who are in service are put in a horrifying position by President Joe Biden, who is not appropriate. Merrick Garland, they're not appropriate. And they put these agents, all of them, even those FBI agents, they put them all in a horrible, precarious position. So what they did was, clearly, the FBI reaches out to somebody in the Secret Service. They have somebody within there because they're put in a horrifying position and they don't want anything to go wrong. They don't want anybody to get hurt. So what do? They go beyond and they find a contact and they go, yo, we got to do this. These are our orders. Let's work together. Mm-hmm. And they, as men, work it out despite the horrible leadership of President Joe Biden and Merrick Garland. And shame on Biden. Shame on all of this administration for putting these agents, not just Trump, but think about all these agents. They put them in a horrible position. Mm-hmm. I don't know why anybody in law enforcement, anybody in service, anywhere, anyhow, would ever vote for anybody within this administration.
If you missed any of that great interview with Rich and Julie, you can get it on the Odyssey app or the website. By the way, I'd like to thank both of them for a great interview, which led to the fact that I burnt my ribeye yesterday. Because I was listening to them on the app for that interview, and it was so hot outside yesterday, and being over a grill, I put the lid down on the grill, and I went and sat down, and I'm listening on my phone with my earbuds, and I lost track of time, and I look over, and I'm like, I think my ribeye's well done right about now. Of course, I open it up, it's about as tough as my flip-flop is right now, so thank you, Rich, but you can send me an Omaha steak in advance. I'll take that as a refund. 855-839-1210. Donald Trump posting on Truth in regards to this story that we are talking about. He says, wow, I just came out of the Biden witch hunt trial in Manhattan, the icebox, and was shown reports that crooked Joe Biden's DOJ in their illegal and unconstitutional raid of Mar-a-Lago authorized the FBI to use deadly lethal force. Now we know for sure that Joe Biden is a serious threat to democracy. He is mentally unfit to hold office. 25th Amendment. If you want to jump in, 855-839-1210. We'll come back, put a bow on the 6 o'clock hour as the defense rests in New York City. Back after this.
We talk a lot about Piazza Honda, the Piazza Auto Group. They're just such great people. Local family started out in our region and certainly has grown over the last, nearly 50 years. Piazza Auto Group, the power of Piazza, whether it's Pennsylvania, Delaware, New Jersey. And, you know, for Nick, for myself, we have our Piazza Hondas, you know, but we dream of those beautiful luxury, the day that the kids are off on their own. And, you know, we can kind of go for that Piazza premium automobile that we've been eyeing, that we've been lusting after. I'm talking about some of the most beautiful brands on the road. Mercedes-Benz, Land Rover, Jaguar, Maserati, BMW, Porsche, and so much more. Piazza Premium Automobiles, they're going to help you find that dream car that you've been eyeing. So whether it's a new or certified pre-owned vehicle, they have thousands of them. Visit PiazzaPremiumAutomobiles.com, especially before your summer road trip. PiazzaPremiumAutomobiles.com, PIAZZA, and stop by one of their dealerships, Pennsylvania, Delaware, New Jersey. Tell them Dawn sent you.
It's Kale and Company on demand. from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Kayla Company, as we continue, Nick Dawn and Greg, hopefully the YouTube viewer count is on the rise.
It's there's something wrong.
Uh-oh.
I think they're messing with our traffic on YouTube.
Uh-huh.
It's not just us, by the way. There's there's other shows that stream that have really low counts too. So
okay,
us.
All right.
But I was like, we have like 50 likes and there are 10 people watching. How is that possible?
Well, was it earlier this week or late last week? There was the live commercials that were popping into our live content.
Yeah.
That was YouTube as well, right? That wasn't the Odyssey app. YouTube.
They're messing with our traffic.
Uh-huh. Stay away from our traffic.
I don't mind you. I hate that.
I do too.
I hate when stuff doesn't work right. Everybody go over to YouTube right now and just hit the like button just to throw it in their face.
Yeah. Flood the streets.
Flood the streets.
Take to the streets.
Not literally. He's not serious.
Right. From the virtual river to the sea, we will take down YouTube. All right, coming up, final hour. My God, I'm almost 3 hours ahead of time. Second hour.
Good night, everybody. Thank you.
Hour or before Bruno or something.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we got through the Trump stuff. That's the most important stuff. We'll just take the next 3 hours off. Donald will have some news to kick off hour number two. Are people paying attention to the Trump trial? The data would show not really. Surprise, surprise. We'll get to that coming up in just a little bit. Also, rising prices with food inflation. And get ready for a price hike for Memorial Day weekend like never before. The details on the other side. Kale & Company, hour two is next.
Start your day with Kale & Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.